So this morning we're going to be looking at the parable of the sower. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we have your word, Lord, and we thank you for this parable that speaks to us, that's so meaningful. And Heavenly Father, even though for many of us we've heard it many times before, we pray, O Lord, that we truly might have ears that hear, Lord, what you're saying to us today. Father, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning, a favorite parable, the parable of the sower, which for many of us, we probably, I didn't do Sunday school because I didn't come to Christ till I was my young 20s. But nevertheless, I was taught, in fact, the parable of the sower, not at Sunday school, but in fact at school. Because, believe it or not, I am old enough, in fact, still to have had scripture taught as a subject in school. Which it used to be, didn't it? I love the parable of the sower. In fact, I love the parables for their simplicity. Talking about ordinary things that you can sort of relate to, like seeds being sown in the soil. Maybe that's, in fact, why I liked them so much at school, because they were simple. But when I was at school, one thing I didn't recognize as a child, but now recognize as a Christian, is that what Jesus calls in this passage the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God, in other words, spiritual understanding, is a gift from God, and our ability to understand it depends very much whether we are spiritually open to God and to what he has to say. In other words, his word. So Jesus put it like this in verses 9 and 10. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, and those hearing they may not understand." See, parables are intended to reveal spiritual truth to the spiritually aware. And at the same time, they have the effect of hiding that same truth from those who oppose Jesus, like in the New Testament, the Pharisees, whose hearts have become hard and whose hearts have become calloused. But there's no question that Jesus wanted his disciples to understand the meaning of this parable, and he wants us to understand its spiritual meaning as well. So let's read it again. "A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Another seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And then he called out, 'Whoever has ears, let him hear.'" In other words, He's saying, listen up. This is important. Now, I have actually got some slides. Daniel, could you put the second slide on, please? Thanks. So there's a picture of the sower, the farmer, going out to sow his seed. And if you look at the picture carefully, you'll see the path and you'll see the rocks. And there are some thorns in there as well. And then you'll see quite a lot of good soil as well. As I said, most of us are quite familiar with this parable. But just imagine hearing it for the very first time, like the disciples. Actually, I can imagine why they didn't really quite get it. And so they asked Jesus to explain it to them, to give them the meaning. And when we don't understand something, that's always a good thing to do, to ask the Lord, Lord, please help me to understand this passage better. It doesn't mean that we disengage our mind, but we can still pray. And it's amazing how understanding can come. And so Jesus said, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. And those along the path, that's the hard path, are like the ones who hear the message, but then the devil comes and takes away that word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And then he said, those on the rocky ground are like the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. And then he said, the seed that falls among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on the way, they are choked by the worries of life, by riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Daniel, could you just move on to the next slide? The land, the seed falls in four different places. On the hard path, on the rocky ground, among thorns, and on good soil. If you could move on to the next slide, please. You see, these different places represent us, our spiritual response to the word. Jesus said, the seed is the word of God. This is a parable about the word of God. It's a parable about the influence and the power of the word of God in our lives. Back then in the first century, the whole idea of the word of God would have been something that was very familiar to them. It would have been familiar in this country, say 50 years ago or so, but not so much these days at all. See, right at the beginning in Genesis, it teaches us that God created the world through the power of his word. Throughout the Old Testament, it teaches us that the word of God came to the prophets and they spoke his word. For example, in Genesis 15, it says, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. And there are many other examples of that. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the others. And people either received and believed God's word through the prophets, or more often, they rejected it. So, for example, Samuel said to King Saul, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. You see, our response to God's word is synonymous with our response to the God who speaks that word. The teachings of the prophets were written down, which we have them in the Old Testament, Moses, and well, we have the history books, but they're prophetic also. And it became known as the Word of God, the written Word of God. And in particular, the prophets pointed to a coming Messiah, pointed to someone who was going to come and put right everything that has gone wrong in this world. And see, then we open the New Testament and come to, say, Luke's Gospel. And we read things like this. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. The word of God came to John the Baptist. And just about everything that John did in his short ministry, just about everything that he said, pointed to this one person, pointed to this promised Messiah, who he identified as being, in fact, his close cousin, Jesus, pointed to the one who would come to save us from our sins. And then we go on a couple of chapters in Luke, and we see that Jesus himself preached this word of God. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Jesus preached the word of God. See, the word of God is more than a book. We're told in the book of Hebrews that the word of God is living. The word of God is active. The word of God is powerful. Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Of course, in John's Gospel, he opens his Gospel by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were created through this Word." And then this Word became a human being and lived among us and revealed his glory. Jesus. You see, the parable of the sower is about the power and influence of God's word in our lives. And in the parable, he says, it's like a seed. Let's think of a seed. A seed that is something which is very small, but a seed that contains within it amazing potential. Contains within it, if you like, from a science point of view, all the DNA which is required for life. And amazingly, these days, we understand a lot of the biochemistry involved. But I still think, if we think just of a little acorn and the way it can grow into a magnificent 80-foot oak tree, there's something of a bit of a miracle about it. The power of God's word in our lives is a supernatural work. It's a miraculous work. And it is like a seed. God's word is like a seed planted into our hearts, which has within it to produce the capacity to produce a new spiritual life. It germinates. It develops roots that go down. It begins to grow upwards, it begins to mature, and then it does what it was always intended to do, to produce fruit if everything goes right. And I think as we read the parable of the sower, our natural response should be, and no doubt is, I want to be like the good soil. I want to be like the soil where the plant grows, it matures, and it produces fruit. And so if we see it in that light, I think we can see that the parable says for each one of us as a warning, that there can be obstacles, things in our lives like rocks and thorns, sinful things that actually prevent us from growing and becoming the fruitful Christian that God desires us to be. This year, if we could just go on to the next slide just briefly, my plants have not been doing very well. No, I think it's something that we're all experiencing. And this is meant to be a nice, bushy, dwarf French bean, but it's just a spindly little thing. I'm not quite sure why, but probably the soil was too cold, the conditions weren't right. And things don't always grow the way that they're intended to. But we see in the parable, in each of the four situations, that each person hears the message. In my view, there's no reason to suppose that that is not genuine. But it's only the seed sown in the good soil that grows into the healthy fruit-bearing plant, which makes sense. If we could just look at the next slide, please. See, the path represents hard hearts, where the seed, even though the message of the gospel is heard, it can't really take root at all. And Jesus said, the devil comes along and snatches the seed away. What does that look like in practice? Well, we hear the gospel, and then we begin to hear these voices telling us it's all nonsense, it's all fairy tales. It also teaches us that we need to be aware that there is a very real spiritual enemy out there who by his very nature is a liar and the father of lies. And the very, very last thing that he wants for any of us is to believe and to be saved. The rocky or stony ground represents those who likewise hear. They hear the gospel, and it says that they're full of joy. But when the real testing comes, persecution, which Jesus says it will, they fall away. Why is that? Because the roots have never gone deep enough into the soil. And they can't because of all the rocks. It says that they fall away. It doesn't say what they fall away from. And it's something that, if you like, Christian commentators don't really agree on. Some think that they fall away from salvation, but others would say they're not saved in the first place. Others would say perhaps they fall away from fruitfulness. Well, I think the main point is, it's not good. And there is always loss. Then the thorns represent life's worries, the desire for riches and the pleasures of this world. So I'd say that these are the things that compete with our, what Paul called our pure devotion to Christ. They come in to pull us this way or to pull us that way. For me, Moses was always an example. It says that he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin for a season. And he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than all the treasures of Egypt. For this reason, that he was looking ahead to his reward. But then we come to the good soil. Those that Jesus says have a noble and a good heart. They hear the word. They hear the message of the gospel. It says they retain it, which means that they listen closely to it and they respond to it. And then it says, by persevering, they produce a crop. We might actually ask ourselves this question: who of us actually has a noble and a good heart? Even Jesus said, there is no one good except God alone. And yet here, Jesus is speaking of those with a good and noble heart. There are so many things like this in the Bible that seem at first sight to be a contradiction, but when we think about it more, then we get the sense of what's being said. I do believe here that the noble and the good heart, it certainly doesn't mean that there are those who have never sinned and never or even not in need of salvation. I believe that it refers to those who are humble. I believe it refers to those who are open to receive God's word and allow it to take root. This brings me to the last point, the power and influence of God's word in our lives. We cannot save ourselves. It's the seed planted. It's the gospel. It's the word of God. It's Jesus himself who has the saving power. This is why the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'm not ashamed of the message, because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. Yes, we need to allow this living and active word of God to take a deep root in our lives. We need to clear our lives out from the rock of rocks and thorns, the very things that Jesus died for us. And of course, their repentance is a key. But that doesn't mean that we can save ourselves. In the letter of James, he had quite a lot to say about the influence of God's word and God's work in our lives. He said, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we just thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, that you do open our hearts, our ears, our eyes, O Lord, to who you are, Lord. We thank you that you give revelation, O Lord. And Heavenly Father, we pray, O Lord, that you would help us, O Lord, to allow your word to take a deeper root in our lives, we pray. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be aware of the rock and the hard places and the thorns, the pleasures of this life, Lord, deceitfulness of riches that can so easily draw us away. Help us, Lord, in our devotion to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.